Welcome to Water Online Radio's coverage from ACE, broadcasting live from Chicago, Illinois. ACE 16, uniting the world of water. Water Online Radio is brought to you by WaterOnline.com, showcasing today's water industry leaders and innovators. And now, here's your host, Todd Schenick.
All right. Good morning and welcome back to Water Online Radio's fifth year of coverage from ACE, the American Water Works Association's annual conference and exposition. I am your host, Todd Schenick, joined by my friend and colleague, Bill King. Bill, kicking off day three. What a great show it's been.
It's been a great show, Todd, and very excited about our next guest here on the radio. We're going to be discussing one of the major topics that our industry is involved in right now.
Absolutely, and we always enjoy our conversations with Mazie and Jetter. So let's welcome Jim Jackson, the Director of Municipal Sales with Mazie and Jetter Company. Jim, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Todd. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, the pleasure is always ours to have you and welcome you here. So our audience is obviously familiar with you and your organization. But take a few quick seconds, tell us a bit about you, your background, and then give us an overview of Mazie and Jetter.
Well, I accidentally got into water treatment. I was working as a food technologist. They closed the plant and got into water as a part-time job. And here I am 33 plus years later, now working full-time.
Outstanding. Well, give us the overview of Mazie Injector.
Mazie Injector was founded in 1978, originally to inject fertilizers and other liquids for the agricultural community. We developed a gas injection system in the early 1980s, and now we're doing large municipal water plants.
All right. So, as Bill said, very important subject now. Been a lot of discussion, a lot of buzz around water reuse. So, just set the table here. What exactly are we talking about with regards to water reuse?
Right. Well, you know, it's hard to, when I'm sitting next to the beautiful shores of Lake Michigan in Chicago, to realize that in some distant lands, water is very scarce. In fact, it's so hot, the natives are scantily dressed, running around. And of course, I'm talking about Southern California.
Yes. Well, yeah, you know, water reuse is It's this interesting topic. We're kind of on a spectrum, I think, with water reuse. There's direct, there's indirect, there's potable, there's non-potable water as a result of water reuse projects. Where do you see kind of the industry right now in terms of applying reuse?
Okay, well, they're not ready for direct reuse, but there's a lot of indirect applications. Sometimes it's as simple as just filtering secondary wastewater and sending it out to irrigate crops. Other plans are to supplement the drinking water reservoirs, where they'll apply advanced treatment methods to clean up the water so they can supplement the drinking water source used by the cities and towns.
Are we close to toilet to tap? I mean, how realistic is that and when?
That's probably still a few years out. Right now, they're doing supplemental feed to water reservoirs. Typically, they'll use membrane filtration, UV, multimedia filtration, and, of course, ozone to purify the water before they add it to the drinking water reservoir.
Well, Jim, give us a couple of examples of how ozone is being used in a water reuse project today.
One of the interesting projects is the Clark County Water Reclamation District. They have a 30 MGD demonstration. They're calling it a demonstration pilot, but actually it's a full-size plant where they pass the secondary wastewater through ultrafiltration membranes and then use ozone to disinfect and, more importantly, to take out some of the compounds of emerging concerns, primarily the endocrine-disrupting compounds that everybody's read so much about. That effluent goes into Lake Mead, which happens to be the drinking water source for the city of Las Vegas. So you want to think about that next time you're sitting at the table having a glass of water in Las Vegas.
Well, I used to live there, and honestly, Lake Mead has never been lower. I mean,
right.
It's actually quite frightening thinking of the population that it serves, so that's intriguing. So other than ozone, what other technologies are used in water reuse projects?
Certainly membrane filtration, medium filtration, ultrafiltration, RO is used. One example of that would be the San Diego Pure Project, which is being developed right now. That's a 42 MGD plant that will take filtered tertiary wastewater, use ozone for disinfection, go through biological filtration, then medium filtration, RO, and ultimately UV. And it'll go to reservoirs such as the Miramar Reservoir. And the reason they're doing such an extensive job of disinfection and treatment is that in some of the reservoirs like Miramar, the dilution's only 10 to 1. And we have to prepare for any catastrophic failure of one of the systems.
So what role is MAISI playing in water reuse?
MAISI steps in anytime they're going to do ozone. We provide the gas dissolution system. And many times we're limited in energy usage or footprint. So we like to do what we call a smart design using fluid engineering tools such as computational fluid dynamics, where we can do a predictive model of how that gas is distributed and mixed into the water to prevent overdesign. You know, it's very easy to accomplish a goal if you over-engineer a project, but we're limited in energy and space, and so we have to find creative ways of putting in the ozone system dissolution without using large basins or contact basins. Typically, we'll use a pipeline contactor called a pipeline flash reactor and then optimize that to the project. This is a different approach than some companies might take, where they have a standard product, they market it, and then they try to make your plant fit around their marketed product. We've taken the different approach and customize our system to meet the utility's needs.
Can you tell me a little bit about that limitation that you mentioned? The utility being limited by energy or space, and why it makes so much sense that you're actually customizing a solution for them?
Well, sometimes the plant can be landlocked. We recently retrofitted a plant up in Quebec, and they had to replace some filters and put in an ozone dissolution system, and the only other available land space was the homes and shops across the street.
Yeah.
So either you practice eminent domain and kick them out of their shops and homes, or you find a creative way to make it work within the available footprint.
Interesting.
And then on the energy side of things?
The plants are very interested in the 20-year cost of operating an ozone system. And power costs, especially in California, are high. They may be as high as 11, 12 cents a kilowatt hour. And so it's not just the capital cost of the equipment, but what it will cost the utility to operate the equipment. And this will affect the power rates and the water costs to the local residents and communities.
So you're exhibiting here at ACE. What are you principally showcasing here?
We're showcasing our smart designs, gas injection systems for dissolution. Also, some of our aeration processes that are often used to oxidize iron and manganese, followed by filtration out of groundwater.
Outstanding. All right. Well, Jim, hate to say it, running low on time. Before I let you go, how can people contact you should they have any questions, and where can they learn more about MAISI?
The best place to reach me and MAISI Injector is, of course, at MAISI.net.
All right. Jim Jackson, Director of Municipal Sales with the MAISI Injector Company. As always, sir, good to see you. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. That's all the time we have for now. Check out some additional conversations from ACE at wateronlineradio.com. Todd Schneck and Bill King signing off for now, but don't worry, Water Online Radio will be right back.